Let's start by looking at the map. And do notice, when we've already talked through that Jefferson did both the Louisiana Purchase and he's associated with the first draft of the Northwest Ordinances, you can see that green Louisiana Purchase, and you can see the brown, purplish-brown section where the Northwest Ordinance is identified. And your book very carefully says that Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, an area the same latitude as much as Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Missouri has in fact moved into. The Missouri planters have moved slavery into the area that the North was sure was no longer a subject to discussion. It was not going to have slavery. And it happened so fast. And this makes the North furious. The North feels that the deal has been violated, that they had in all the activities that preceded. And what you see also when you look at that is you see some numbers written. 7 free states in the green section, 1 slave state with Arkansas Territory, and 2 more free states in the Northwest Territory that had not yet become states. So yes, we have a balance, and they have a balance. And if you move up a little bit to the chart that's right above it, the map, when you have sections that don't have slavery and you have sections that have slaveholding, we start out in 1820 with 11 states in this western area, this area east of the Mississippi. They had it at a balance. And with the Missouri Compromise, we add 1 northern state and we have 1 Missouri added in, and there's 1 potential and that's it. From the Northwest Territory, we will have 2 more states. And whenever we look at Louisiana Purchase, since you cannot bring slavery up into there as long as the Missouri Compromise holds, you're going to have 7 more states. So the potential total is 21 for the North and only 13 for the South. There is nowhere else that the South can pick up those state senators. And they need those state senators because that is the only institution that they have to stop an amendment to the Constitution that could end slavery. Wow. They don't have the House of Representatives. They may or may not have the Senate, but everything else, every protection they have in the Constitution is dependent on the Senate being able to block amendments. Now, if I could ask you to scroll down to the bottom and look at the future. Future's pretty ugly. Long term, from 1820 to 1830, here is the reality. Now, your book tells you that in 1820, at this huge mess, that they were only able to kind of patch together a deal to solve it and keep the politics going, that the North began to realize it was different from the South, and the South as well. But let's look at the numbers. The population in 1820 was just over 5 million for the North and about 4.5 million for the South. Number of states the same. By 1860, just as the Civil War is about to start, the population of the North is 22 million, about 4 times the growth. And in the South, 9 million. But the reality is that many of those people are slaves, who in fact will have to be watched by the white guys. But if you took away the 3/5 compromise, they would only have 5.5 million population. So what you're seeing is the South will no longer be able to get what it wants in the House of Representatives, that the South will no longer be able to block as time goes on and these states get population. The states in the northern wing debt population. We'll no longer be able to have any hope of blocking it with the Senate. And so, you see the future. Now, it would have been higher, but in 1860, the count of states in the North, and four states that are slave states, will stay with the Union. But it would have been higher, but they do not yet have settlement enough to qualify to be states. And so, you see that this is both the ending of one story and the beginning of another.